morning, everyone. So before I start, I have a quick testimony, you could say. Monday, November 2nd, I started training at the police academy to become a police officer. It was something I've been waiting for a long time. It's been since March. I got the notification that we're going to start in April. Then COVID happened. And then they said, okay, we're going to start in July. And then the mayor shut it down. And then they said, okay, we're going to start in October. And the mayor said no. And then the commissioner said, you know, he really wanted a class because only like about 500 new officers are in the street since 2020 started. So they worked out a deal. Him and the mayor worked out a deal. And November 2nd is when the class was starting. I got my notification Friday night. So I didn't even really get a chance to say bye to my coworkers or anything like that, which is fine. But you know, I still remain in contact. And Monday, I started at the police academy, and I'm not gonna lie to you, it was rough. Have us running. We carried this heavy bag, probably about like it weighs about like 30 pounds, probably 40 pounds, depending on what we have in it. And sometimes we gotta run with the bag in our hands. We gotta salute everybody and everything like that. But everything is conditioned. The only part that I dislike is that they made me cut my beard. I felt like my beard was like part of me, and then we got the notification, everyone must appear clean shaven. If you don't, then you're gonna be sent home. And I was like, oh gosh, dang, you know. But it is what it is. But I just want to thank everybody who was praying for me, everybody who knew before. I just thank you for praying for me, and I just pray that you continue to keep me in your prayers as I go through these next 6 months. It's not gonna be easy, but I know, I trust a good God. And funny story about that. I was named the leader of my class. I was trying to avoid it because I had that responsibility when I was in school safety. It's a lot of work. You know, you gotta go to meetings, and you gotta extra paperwork and things like that. So I said, all right, so this time around, I'm not doing it. If they ask me, I'm gonna say no. So here we are in gym class. I had gym first thing, 6:30 in the morning, I have gym class. And you know, we're dressed up for gym, and one of the instructors, he remembered my face. And he said, somebody next to me, he did something wrong, and he said, Chapman, get your group together. So my gym instructor came around, and he said, oh, you see Chapman right here? He was company sergeant for when he was in school safety about 2 years ago. He said, oh, really? So I'm gonna make you my company sergeant. So some things is this, I was trying to run away from it, but it kind of just caught me. So you know, I have more responsibility, but it is what it is. I'm here for the full experience. 6 months, I'm here for the full experience. I don't want to run away from it. And it's funny that I'm talking about running away from things, because here I am back in Jonah. So for those who don't know, I've been preaching in Jonah for the past few times that I was preaching, and I was trying to avoid it. When I was asked by Brother Wilson to speak, I was trying to avoid speaking in Jonah because I was like, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to have time to finish it. I did chapter 1. I did chapter 2. And I said, I'm going to find something else. And Jonah came back around. So I said, okay, so you know what? I'm going to just do 3 and 4, get it over with, because I don't know next time I'm going to be asked to preach. So I'm just going to do chapter 3, chapter 4. And God said, nah, just do chapter 3. Just pump your brakes. It's okay. We're going to do chapter 3. So, if you will, please, turn into your Bibles with me to Jonah chapter 3. And before I start, we're just going to open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just want to come before you once again, just saying thank you for another opportunity that we have to be in your house. We just thank you that we are able to meet in a setting like this where some countries don't have this opportunity, Father. So, Lord, we just take this and we take it to our full advantage, oh God. And we just pray that as I speak, you will hide me behind your cross, oh Father, that you would let me speak the words that you want me to speak, oh Father. And we just pray that you will be seen and not me. So Father, use me as your vessel. And I just pray that your word will go forth, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. We're just going to read chapter 10. It's 10 verses. We're going to read chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to this great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely large city, a three-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, "In 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown." But the men of Nineveh believed in God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest to the least. When word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, put on sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh. By order of the king and his nobles, no man or beast, herd or flock is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both man and beast must be covered in sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from the violence he is doing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. Then God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster he had threatened to do to them, and he did not do it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, for his name's sake. So here we are in chapter 3 now. So chapter 1, Jonah was given a command, go to Nineveh and preach what I tell you. He said, nope, I ain't doing that. So he got on a boat to go about 3,000 miles in the opposite direction from what God told him to do. And there God caused a storm, and he's sleeping in the bottom of the boat, just chilling, acting like he don't know what's going on. So then finally, they wake him up. They say, listen, you call out to your God. And he gets up and he's like, all right, hey, guys, this is my fault. It's on me. Y'all can throw me overboard because I already know I'm the one who did it. So they throw him overboard. And then, you know, he kind of regrets that decision because now he's drowning. And then God sends a fish to swallow Jonah. You know, just an expression of God's grace shows. Sends a fish to swallow Jonah, and now Jonah has this humbling experience in the belly of a fish, and now he is in chapter 3, spit up on dry land, given a command to go to Nineveh again. And this time he goes. He actually followed the Lord's instructions this time. So here he is now. We're not exactly sure how far he was from Nineveh, but the Bible did tell him to get up. God did tell him to get up and go to Nineveh. So he went, and he's on his way to Nineveh. And what I thought funny about this was, when God has a job for you to do, no matter how much you try to run away from that job, he's going to make sure that you do that job. So you see the ordeal that Jonah had to go through between chapter 1 and chapter 2. And here he is now in chapter 3 doing the same thing that God told him to do since chapter 1. And, you know, I laughed about it because of the story I just shared with you all about, you know, being the whole class leader and things like that. You know, I was trying to run away from it. Here it is. It's on me again. So when the Lord really wants you to do something, he's going to make sure that you do it. Of course, God has the power to his word is going to, his will is going to be done regardless. However, if he wants to use someone else, he can. He's more than powerful. He's more than capable of doing it. But if he wants you to do it, he's going to make sure that you do that job. So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. And Nineveh was an extremely large city. I know I mentioned Nineveh the first time, but I didn't really go into detail about what exactly Nineveh was. Nineveh was considered to be the New York City of his day. It was a very large city. It was located on the eastern bank of the Tigris River, which means there was a lot of fertility there. The land was rich. And, you know, a lot of trade routes came through there. So it was, number one, a very populous city. It was a very popular city, and it was very busy. And here it is that Jonah is being told to go to this great city, and as the Bible said, it was a three-day walk to get from one end to the other. However, the Bible also refers to Nineveh, I believe it's in the book of Nahum, as a city of blood. You know, so much so that they said, I believe further down it says that people, like, they're tripping over their dead or stepping over their dead or something like that, which goes to show you that not only was this large, populous city, it was also a city that was, like, drenched in violence. And that's possibly one of the reasons why Jonah didn't want to go there, because he knew, like, yo, they really be killing people in here. Like, they're going to chop off my head. They're going to skin me alive. Like, you know, because he probably heard the stories about what Nineveh was about. So probably that was one of the things that really made him not want to go there. And I was trying to look up the meaning of what Nineveh meant. And it's kind of like the meaning is really unclear. But through archaeological finds and everything, they found like in cuneiform writing, they found whatever the city of Nineveh was referred to, it was a fish inside of a house. So Nineveh could be translated as the house of fish, you know? And I thought it was funny because here it is that Jonah walks into Nineveh, just got out of the belly of a fish, probably stinks. He probably stinks right now. And who knows how long he's been walking. And I could just imagine these people who are used to, you know, tradesmen and everybody coming around, and here's this guy just smelling like fish. And he just says, in 40 days, you're going to be overthrown. And it's just like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And automatically, the Bible says that these men believe God. And it's funny that Jonah didn't say, God said, in 40 days, you will be overthrown. The Bible says, in 40 days, you'll be overthrown. And then it goes to say that these men believed God. The amazing thing about that is that these men, I'm not exactly sure what language Jonah was speaking. We don't know if he was speaking their dialect or whatever. All we know is that when these men heard that message, they knew exactly what time it was. They knew exactly what it meant, and they knew that judgment was coming. And they knew that this judgment was coming from God. And that's why it was so immediate that these people declared a fast, they sat in sackcloth, and sackcloth is like the universal sign of mourning, of grief, and they all sitting down in the sackcloth, even so much so, down to the animals. So word reached the king, and he took off his robes, and he sat in sackcloth and ashes, and let me get my notes. Yeah, so he took off his robes, and he sat in sackcloth, and the fact that he traded his royalty for a place of mourning goes to show you how much this really cut the people of Nineveh to the core. This message was so pertinent that the king decreed that not only men and women, boys and girls, but even the animals have to be dressed in sackcloth and sit in ashes. And the funny thing about that is that animals don't pray to nobody. You know, he's saying, each one cry out to your God, cry out to God. And it's like, yo, these animals don't. These animals, all they do is graze in the field. But even the animals weren't even allowed to eat. Even the dogs, you can't feed your dog. Don't feed your dog. Don't feed your cat. Tie them up, sackcloth, ashes, everybody. And it just goes to show you that when these people heard that message, those seven words that Jonah spoke, they knew it meant automatic judgment, and they knew, all right, we got to get right. You know, the great thing about it is that for us, we are fortunate to live in a time of grace. We are fortunate to be in a time when we don't have to sit in sackcloth and ashes. You know, it's great that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross took the wrath of God from us. You know, the fact that we don't have to go and run around and try to help ourselves, to save ourselves from the wrath of God that Nineveh was trying to do it. They were trying to just rest in everybody's sackcloth and ashes. We're trying to save themselves from the wrath of God. However, God did look down at them, and he did relent from his anger, and he turned away from them. And I just really thought that this third chapter here, I often overlooked it when I was reading. Because he's like, okay, he lived the message, and then you jump to chapter 4, which is like probably one of the really more meaty parts of the book. However, just to know that what I took from it was, number one, God is going to use you no matter how much you don't want to be used. He's going to, if he has a job for you to do, he's going to make sure that you do said job. And God is powerful enough. And it reminded me of the passage in Acts when the apostles were preaching and it said every man heard in his own language. And, you know, the fire from Pentecost and everything fell down. And, you know, just to know that God is powerful enough to even surpass our knowledge. Like, this man just comes, delivers seven words, and the whole nation gets turned around. You know, that's the power of God. That's only the power that God has to turn a whole nation around. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really have much more to say. So I'm not going to try to elongate it. I'm not going to try to stretch it out. But yes, Jonah chapter 3, it really spoke to me because, especially in this time that I'm in, you know, when God really has something for you to do, when he has a purpose for you to do, he's going to make sure that it's you who does it. Of course, he can use someone else. Of course, he can go another direction because God's will is never going to be stopped. But when he wants you to do it, he's going to make sure that you do it. So when next time I see you all, hopefully soon, we're going to just finish up the book, chapter 4, and then it's on to the next one. Amen.